actually kind of built my life as if it was a video game. Turned myself into a character, created a series of quests and missions to complete with treasures and rewards if I were to complete certain missions, accountability or negative consequences if I were to skip out on doing certain things. So I tried to remove as much of the need for willpower and as much of the need for motivation as humanly possible, because I know if I only relied on those two things, stuff never would have got done.
I'm Srini Rao, and this is the Unmistakable Creative Podcast, where you get a window into the stories and insights of the most innovative and creative minds who've started movements, built thriving businesses, written best-selling books, and created insanely interesting art. For more, check out our 500-episode archive at unmistakablecreative.com. We're already 3 weeks into the new year, and it's possible you've already forgotten about resolutions, projects, and all the other things you might have been thinking about. But sometimes, all it takes to kick off an important project is the first step, like buying a domain. It's literally the first thing that we do anytime we have an idea, and our sponsor HostGator is perfect for that. HostGator is your one-stop shop for creating your online presence. From helping you get online, to making your social media profiles, and even running your marketing, they're with you every step of the way. And thanks to their 24/7, 365 days a year live support, which you can get via phone, chat, and email, any and all questions you have can be answered in no time at all. And if you're really hardcore and you want to build your own website, they even provide a one-click WordPress install. So check out HostGator. And for Unmistakable Creative listeners, they're offering a 30% discount on all their hosting packages. So visit hostgator.com/creative and use the promo code creative. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you support our show. Steve, welcome to the Unmistakable Creative. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Srini, what's going on, man? Good to talk to you again.
It is really good to have you back here again. For people in our audience who don't know you, you're one of a handful of people who have made more than three appearances at this point on what was Blogcast FM and is now Unmistakable Creative. But given that it's been nearly 3 years since we last spoke, the people in our audience who may or may not know who you are, can you tell us a bit about yourself, your story, your background, your journey, and how it has led you to all this amazing work that you're doing?
Absolutely. So my name is Steve, and I'm a nerd. I am the rebel leader of the community at nerdfitness.com, which is a worldwide community of average Joes and Jills that are helping each other get healthier, get stronger, and level up their lives. And I started Nerd Fitness, geez, at this point, it's been like 7 years. It's become something so much bigger than I ever could have expected. You know, as a kid growing up, I spent my youth playing video games and then going out in the backyard and acting those games out and trying to be active while also kind of balancing that with reading as many books and playing as many games as I could. And that continued all through my youth, through high school and college. And as I got older, I played more and more games and spent less and less time being active as games got more complicated and the stories got better and the graphics got better. And it wasn't until finally after college that I kind of cracked the code on getting fit. I had spent years trying to get healthy and trying to get stronger and fitter, and I wouldn't say failed miserably, but for 6 years of effort, I had very little to show for it. It wasn't until I finally improved my diet, combined it with the right kind of exercise training, that I started to see success. And I thought to myself, man, there have to be other people out there like myself that are interested in getting fit, that are probably self-conscious about going to a gym. They're brand new to health and fitness, and everything they've found online or every, you know, get fit quick scheme they've tried or supplement they've tried has failed them miserably. And they're just looking for a place to get proper, you know, no BS information. And they also happen to be really nerdy. Like, you know, for me, I was playing a game called EverQuest and EverQuest 2, dumping dozens of hours every week into this game while also still getting fit and working a regular sales job. But I had found found the path to, I think, a good life of being who I was as a nerd and also taking care of myself physically too. So I Googled nerd and fitness and nothing popped up. So I purchased nerdfitness.com. and kind of got really scared and sat around for about a year and a half until I finally worked up the courage to start writing articles there. And then I kind of shifted into this dual existence, you know, like my alter ego. By day, I was a marketing assistant at a really fun company. And then I'd go home every night and transform into rebel leader of Nerd Fitness, where I would write articles, connect with people, answer emails, record videos about workout programs and things like that. So this went on for about a year and a half while doing both things, and eventually got to the point where I could kind of make the leap and turn Nerd Fitness from an afternoon alter ego version of myself into the daytime version of myself. And Nerd Fitness has been a full-time gig for me now for about, 5 years. And we're up to the point where I'm hiring my 9th employee at the moment, which is just crazy.
Well, you know, I want to talk quite a bit about video games and those early moments in your childhood and how video games have influenced and shaped everything you've done with your life, as you've built this Nerd Fitness empire. The other question, of course, is how people find what that might have been in their own life or what it is, that thing that sort of drives them.
Sure. Well, I think the game that resonated the most with me as a kid was The Legend of Zelda. There's a character in The Legend of Zelda, the main character, his name is Link, and the game opens and he sees a cave. He walks down into the cave and there's this old man that says, "It's dangerous to go alone. Take this." And there's just a wooden sword sitting there, and you go pick up the sword and you begin your quest to ultimately save the world. And as a small kid growing up in suburbia with a backyard, you know, I immediately resonated with this character. Here's a little boy in a tunic with a wooden sword and shield tasked with trying to, you know, defeat this evil bad guy, save the princess, and save the world. And I would spend my afternoons playing Legend of Zelda, and then we'd go out in the backyard and act out scenes from the game. I actually remember there was one day where we made bows and arrows in the with friends and I. We used to pass the controller back and forth, and we made bows and arrows in our backyard to act like we were Link from The Legend of Zelda. And I actually feathered my arrows with poison ivy leaves, which I wasn't aware of until I woke up the next day and my entire face was swollen shut, and I had to miss school because I literally could not see. So to say that I was heavily influenced by games at an early age is an understatement. So as The Legend of Zelda got, you know, every new system came out, the games got a little better, the graphics got better. Like, I felt like I grew up with alongside Link, you know, from the Super Nintendo to Nintendo 64 to the GameCube. Every version of that system came along, the games got better and stronger, and I just fell in love with this idea of taking a small, scrawny, weak character, and over the course of many hours, many days, many weeks, leveling up and getting more, getting, you know, better armor or finding more heart containers so that I had more life, getting stronger, more fit, etc. As a scrawny, skinny kid, I just loved that idea, and I think that's probably the thing that influenced me the most, just this concept of progression and taking something that starts as a zero and slowly over hours building him into something great. And that has carried over to every aspect of Nerd Fitness for sure.
How do people find something that gives them that sort of concept of progression in their own life?
Interesting. I think there's a few things here. So there's this idea of the progress principle. Uh-huh. And it's a concept that as humans, we enjoy making progress on something more so than we do the reward at the end of what we're making the progress on. In a game, that's simple. It's like, oh, you're going from, the goal is to save the princess, the goal is to find this treasure, whatever. But you actually, getting the treasure is a minuscule part of the whole process. You're enjoying yourself because you get to actually see your character progressing. You get to go from level one to level two, level two to level three. So in life, I have found that when I can apply that progress principle and break down a goal or a habit that I'm trying to build or a major project that I'm trying to work on, and break it into smaller bite-sized habits or smaller bite-sized missions that I can complete and allow myself to progress upon or progress with, I have way more fun with it. It makes it far less daunting to get started. And I find that the product at the end works out even better. So let's use this book, for example. I wrote a book called Level Up Your Life. And I was given, I think, 9 months to write the first draft. And after my first 4 months, I think I had written zero words, maybe. Mm-hmm. I was so overwhelmed at the thought of having to write a book that I consistently told myself, someday, you know, like when I'm too busy right now. I don't have time to dedicate the hours and hours and hours I need to get started on this. I'm going to wait until I have those hours. Sure enough, 4 months later, I still haven't managed to find those hours because they don't exist. So I changed my tactic. Instead, I purchased a program called Scrivener, which allows you to input your due date on a project, how many words you need to write, and then how many days per week you're planning on writing. And then it spits out a small number that tells you exactly how many words you need to write each day on the days that you've picked in order to complete your draft. So I was like, okay, my book is due in February of 2015, and I need to write 70,000 words, and it's this day, and I'm going to write 5 days a week, which means every day I need to write, 400 words. Like, that's not that scary. Like, I think I can do that. So every morning I woke up, and it was the first thing I did every single day. I blocked off the internet. I blocked off pretty much everything and told myself that I had to write 400 words. And with every word written, there's a little progress bar that fills up slowly but surely. It starts at a color red, and then it turns to orange and then yellow, and then I think goes blue and then green. And when you type in your, let's say, 500th word for the day, whatever your goal target date or target number of words is that day, it makes this really satisfying ding noise. Very similar to any video game, when you level up a character, to go from level 1 to level 2 is not that cool, but when it's accompanied by a ding, you get a new piece of equipment, something else happens, it becomes this thing that, like, you become addicted to the idea of progress. And it really helped me take this overwhelming idea of having to write a full narrative, an entire book, and broke it down into a daily mission that I had to complete, with each mission, you know, kind of building on the previous mission. So I think for anybody out there that is struggling with a big goal, whether they're trying to lose weight, write their first book, get started as an artist, really doing anything, be it creative, physical, learning a language, whatever, find a way to implement some sort of progress principle that you can break this goal down into such a small, tiny, bite-sized piece as something that you can work on every single day, you're going to be far more likely to overcome that initial inertia that keeps us from starting something and gives you the kind of the ability to go from level 1 to level 2, from level 2 to level 3, instead of mentally having to jump from level 1 to level 50, which I think most people do when it comes to a project they are truly overwhelmed with.
Do you have any days that you missed or didn't hit your goal?
I had plenty of days where I wrote terribly. Uh-huh. I did have some other days where, like, I knew if, I structured it, was like, I'm going to write Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But I knew if I was traveling Thursday through Monday, then I might have to double up a certain day earlier that week, or I try to, like, write an extra 100 words, you know, for the 5 days leading up to that. And occasionally I would miss one just for their, you know, family emergency, or life got in the way for whatever. But it, you know, I really structured my entire life. You know, it's funny. There's a quote that I share in the book. It's somebody asked about learning to play a musical instrument, and they said, I'm just not motivated to get myself to play. How do you guys find the motivation, and where can I get more of it? And the responses came back in. It was like, dude, screw motivation, cultivate discipline. And when I paired that with the other quote that I found, which was, you know, I only write when I'm motivated. Fortunately, I'm motivated every morning at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. You know, I was waiting for that magical moment when I would be motivated enough to get started on this book, when in reality, what I needed to do is I needed to cultivate an apartment that structured, that was set up in a way for me to win. So, like, before I'd go to bed at night, I would block all of the time-wasting websites that I would normally check the next morning, block them all for 12, 14 hours. So when I went to bed, by the time, even if I woke up, or when I woke up, I couldn't hop on Gmail. I couldn't go to YouTube. I couldn't go to Yahoo. I couldn't go to Reddit. I couldn't go to IGN.com. I couldn't go to any of these websites. So I was like, all right, I might as well just work. You know, I'd have my phone in airplane mode. I had a ritual I'd go through every morning. So like I truly cultivated this concept of like, I'm a writer. Every morning from 6:30 a.m. until 10:30 a.m., I am going to write and I'm going to work on a book. The content might suck. Mm-hmm. I might have to go back and rewrite it eventually. This chapter might not even make it into the book. I might be writing about things that I hate, but I just have to start writing. And 99 times out of 100, as soon as I started writing, after I got a little warmed up, the content got better. I got more excited about it. I could find a way to get into this idea of flow, which is something I talk about in the book as well. But it's almost like this zen-like state of work in which you lose track of time. You feel like you're doing your best work. You know, it's almost like this state of bliss in which you're working on something that you're challenged in, that you're excited about, and that helps you lose track of time. So I found that the more I could structure my environment to give me the chance to get into that state, the more often I got into that state, the better the quality of work I got out of it, the more likely I was to write a better book, and the more proud I ended up becoming of that book as a result of, you know, loving the idea of being creative and striking while the iron is hot, et cetera, but also understanding that like creativity had to become a habit for me in order for me to get over this idea of only writing when I was ready to write.
Hmm. Well, we'll get into the entire framework that the book offers, but one of the things I want to talk about is this sort of message of you being the rebel leader of Nerd Fitness. And you, the thing that I think is fascinating is you found a very unique spin on something that is incredibly cliche, and you also have made this like a significant part of your identity and had this courage to own the message. I mean, you started out by saying, I'm Steven, I'm a nerd. And I really appreciate that. And I want to talk about two things: how people find those kinds of unique messages, those distinctive fingerprints in their own work, and then how they find the courage to actually own that in everything they do. Because it sounds to me like, you know, the other thing that was really interesting that you said was that, you know, by day you were working, you know, as, you know, a marketing person. And then by night, you became the rebel leader of Nerd Fitness. So it's like two different identities, but eventually those identities merged. So I guess really the question is, you know, one, how do you find what that identity is and how do you express it through your work?
Love it. I just want to say that is a awesome question, and I'm so excited to answer it. So, well done, Srini. It's funny. I don't know. When people ask me, like, dude, how'd you come up with the idea for Nerd Fitness? And, you know, how much of this was planned ahead of time, and like the structure and the identity and the language that you use and all these things? And it wasn't, I would love to say that it was all planned out ahead of time. It wasn't. I saw a social group that I was a part of and something that I was good at, and I wanted to help people. And for me, when I found those things, it was like, okay, I self-identify as a nerd. Like I'm playing video games on a computer that I've built. I love the Lord. I was driving around in my day job at the time, reading Harry Potter in between job sites, sitting in my car because I couldn't get myself to stop. I was still dumping tens of hours a week into video games. And, you know, as a 22, 23 year old kid, 23 adult, you know, as a kid, looking back now, I feel like a kid back then, but, you know, I was an adult, and this is who I thought I was and what was helpful to me. And I think who the community that I truly felt the biggest part of. And when I decided I wanted to help people get fit, I realized there was already a million bazillion fitness websites out there. And fortunately, I was ignorant enough not to realize how many there were. And if I had known any better, I probably wouldn't have started, because everybody would have told me, like, you're getting into the most crowded, competitive niche out there. Like, what are you thinking? And I decided that if I was going to start something, I had to be different about it. And Nerd Fitness had to be a home for people that didn't want to get, that wouldn't want to get their fitness information anywhere else. You know, I had, thanks to Nintendo, I had stumbled across and heard about this idea called the Blue Ocean Strategy. And it's this concept of, you know, essentially when Nintendo came up with the Nintendo Wii, which was like this global phenomenon, they sold hundreds of, that was like 100 plus million systems. Xbox and, you know, Sony and Microsoft are both fighting for like that hardcore gamer. And instead, Nintendo chose the Blue Ocean strategy, which is not fighting for that same gamer, but instead going where there wasn't the competition and creating like this new market. And for me, I was like, perfect. I want to help people get fit, but I'm not going to try to steal the people from CrossFit. I'm not going to steal people from bodybuilding.com. I'm not going to try to convince somebody that loves Jillian Michaels to instead start loving Nerd Fitness and Steve Kam. Instead, I wanted to go for the people that felt more at home at GameSpot.com or in GameStop and in arcades, that identified themselves as a nerd in some way, and give them a home for their first place to get fit. They never would have looked anywhere else. They get turned off by everything else, and then they find Nerd Fitness, and it's like, here's a guy that speaks my language. Here's a community that resonates with who I am as a person and the way I like to be taught and the way I like to learn. And I get to be myself 100% here. And that's the thing I'm probably most proud of. You know, it's, if you consider yourself a nerd, you get really excited or passionate about something that is not considered popular and you don't run in that kind of crowd. And then on top of that, if you're the only person in your group of friends that's getting fit, like in your group of nerdy friends, like you're almost like double shunning yourself or double like, you know, boxing yourself into this corner. It's like, not only am I not in the cool part of the crowd, I'm in the nerdy part of the crowd, but then I'm not even in the cool part of the nerdy crowd. Like I am the exception to the rule in this group of people. And I wanted to give people in Nerd Fitness, like, hey, this is your new home. Like you can talk about Harry Potter and push-ups and cooking healthier meals and dressing up in cosplay costumes and be 100% who you are and who you want to be and not be ashamed to hide any of those things. So that was the messaging and the desire, I think, behind Nerd Fitness. Is I just saw it as like, I'm a nerd and I want to help people that are like me that don't have anywhere else to go. So I think a big problem a lot of people make is they're probably just looking like, okay, they're studying market trends and, you know, they pick something because they read about it in a magazine, or they pick a specific target market because, you know, that group has money or that they are blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. If you're starting a business or if you're trying to cater to something that you're going to focus your life's work on, I think it has to be something that really lines up with who you are as a person and something that at the end of the day, like you would feel comfortable and confident in getting behind. Mm-hmm. It's when people reach out to me and say, like, you know, I tell them I'm Nerd Fitness and then they, who I am and who I represent, you know, they're like, but you're not a nerd. And, you know, they're trying to be like complimentary. And I'm like, that doesn't compute with me. Like, I absolutely am. And I'm very proud of it. Here are the reasons why. And, you know, I encourage anybody, like, I look at nerd as a very positive term. So I think for anybody out there that is struggling to find their place or make their impact, you know, as Steve Jobs says, put their dent in the universe, I found success in taking a group that I'm a part of and a way that I felt like I could truly help other people and carving out a tiny, tiny portion of that and then helping people like one-on-one, adding a person at a time to our community. Again, it's called The Rebellion, and now it's bigger than I ever could have imagined it could have become. And what's crazy is I think we're still just getting started. But it started with that. It was pick something I'm good at and something that helps people, and overlap it with a social group that I felt like I was a big part of, and then serve those people and don't be ashamed about it. I know we have plenty of people that come to nerdfitness.com and decide it's not for them. Mm-hmm. We had one guy that purchased one of our courses called the Nerd Fitness Academy, and he's like, hey, can you tone down the nerdy parts of this? I don't like the idea of creating a character and completing missions and leveling up. And I gave the guy his money back. I was like, I'm sorry, but that's who we are and that's what we stand for. And this is the type of product and thing that we get behind as a company and as a community, this might not be for you. And, you know, he said, thank you very much, and blah, 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 and moving on. It's like, okay, I have no problem turning people away. And, you know, I've had to get thicker skin over the past few years, but I also have plenty of people that gladly email me and tell me why I'm doing something wrong or why I should be doing this and including more people. And I'm proud that we are unabashedly for the group of people that we are supporting, and we'll welcome anybody with open arms that's interested. But if somebody is not interested, we're not going to change who we are to try to appeal to an even greater number of people. It's like, hey, this is who we are. The book I wrote is full of nerdy references and metaphors. The site, if you go check out nerdfitness.com, it's one giant comic book, and it probably pisses off or turns off a lot of people, and I'm okay with that.
It's interesting to listen to you talk about critics. You know, when I hear you say that, I realize that everybody has them, because we got our first 2-star review for the first time in ages after like literally 100 5-star reviews in a row. And I was kind of like, what the hell?
And somebody on the internet is wrong. I must correct them, right?
Yeah, exactly. and somehow it's always, you know, followed up by a dozen emails that are incredibly kind and you know, saying wonderful things about you, which I've always found mind-blowing. But the sense of mission and message that you uncovered in Nerd Fitness, you think that that is something that you knew starting out, is only something you recognize or something that emerged as a byproduct of the work?
Definitely a byproduct.
Yeah,
for sure. I would love to say that I had it all planned out ahead of time and I knew that this was going to become the thing that it is, but I was like, man, when I first bought the domain, I was working a crappy job. I was like, I felt so mismatched and sitting in the wrong seat and just miserable. And you know, I bought the domain when I was like, you know what, I think I can help people get fit. And initially, I was helping other skinny, scrawny guys like myself put on some weight and feel better about themselves, because that's what I had struggled with for my entire life. And it wasn't until I got my first email from somebody that was like, hey man, like I lost, you know, 30, 40, 50 pounds and had to buy new clothes and just went on my first date, or, you know, I can finally touch my toes for the first time, or like, you know, I'm excited because my dad died at 50 and now I feel like I have an opportunity to actually see my kid grow up, and I didn't get to see him. And as soon as I started getting those emails, I was like, okay, this is, you know, we're shifting. I'm not just going to help. I'm going to help people get fit. And when you get an email from somebody that has dropped 100 pounds, 150, 200 pounds, and literally saved their own lives as a result of something that we as a team at Nerd Fitness, something I've written, has helped them make that decision. Like, it's makes me cry. You know, I've bawled my eyes out on a number of occasions just reading stories from people that have changed their lives. And it's cool to be a part of it. And I mean, when I started, I never expected it to have that level of impact on other people. But more importantly, I never expected it to have the impact. Their impact on me was a complete afterthought. Like, I didn't even register in my brain as I was getting started. I was like, just write articles, help people, maybe someday somehow turn it into a business and then figure the rest out from there. And now it feels like I feel like I'm part of something that's much bigger than me. And it's that mentality or that idea took many years to develop until now. I'm realizing it certainly is more. Like I said, we have a team of 9 people now and a community of like 300,000 people. I mean, it's crazy. But when it started, it was like, I just want to help people and we'll figure the rest out later. And it has evolved significantly since then. But none of the craziness that exists today, I think, was initially planned for sure.
How do you balance the intention of what you want to create in the future with the work that you need to do today?
That's a tough one, because I'm an eternal optimist and I can see where I think this could go if we take care of our people. Mm-hmm. And I often love to live in the future, and that's I think important in some aspects. I think, you know, I quote The Shawshank Redemption in the book, and that is, hope is a good thing, maybe the best thing, and no good thing ever dies. And I think hope is important. I think especially if you are overweight, out of luck, you know, you're down and out creative, whatever that may be, hope for a better future, I think is really helpful in getting you off the ground. You know, I think hope is what I got from all of those games and movies and books that I loved. It was reading about Harry Potter trapped under the stairs, or Link saving the land of Hyrule, James Bond, you know, earning his 00 and traveling the world and things of that nature. And as somebody that had never done any of those things, it was fun to live vicariously through those characters, but ultimately it required action from me on a day-to-day basis in order for me to get to that eventual future that I had built or that I had built up in my mind. So I think that's, again, where that structure comes in place. It's building a life structure that allows you to make progress towards goals that are important to you, things that allow you to challenge you mentally, physically, help you financially, philanthropically, whatever it may be. I think it's important to have those goals and hopes. And I apologize for those sirens. I just relocated to New York City, so they are everywhere around here. I think it's important, as you're structuring kind of what your future might look like, almost reverse engineering and backtracking through that and be like, okay, if this is what my goals and hopes and dreams are, I have no problem with that. But we need to get very specific and very concrete with what those things are, and then backtrack and reverse engineer those things into, okay, what are the four things or three things that need to get done today? How can I structure my environment so that the default activity is actually doing those things? And how can I surround myself with the right kind of people that are encouraging and supporting me rather than pulling me back down or enabling me to skip out on those things that I'm doing? So I actually kind of built my life as if it was a video game, turned myself into a character, created a series of quests and missions to complete with treasures and, you know, rewards if I were to complete certain missions, accountability or negative consequences if I were to skip out on doing certain things. So I tried to remove as much of the need for willpower and as much of the need for motivation as humanly possible, because I know if I only relied on those two things, stuff never would have got done. To further explain that point, when I purchased Nerd Fitness, again, I sat on it for about a year and a half before I finally worked up the courage to start writing articles for it. And once I had started writing articles, I was like, oh, I'm not motivated enough to write and blah, blah, blah. It was because, you know, I was lying to myself. I was too busy spending time playing EverQuest 2. And there was a particular afternoon when I was playing with friends in EverQuest, and my computer that I had built short-circuited. The fans in it burned out. The motherboard in my computer essentially exploded, and I didn't have the money to fix it. And I told myself that moment, like, I'm not allowed to play another video game until I make my first dollar with Nerd Fitness as a business. So this, you know, it was like, this was my call to action on my hero's journey. Like, all of a sudden I had been reluctant to get started, and couldn't get motivated, and all this time and energy went into this thing. And I needed my computer to explode to kindly be like the slap in my face. Like, dude, like, you have this idea and this hope for this thing that you want to build, and you're not taking action on it. Like, get going today. Fortunately, I got going that day, and instead of being addicted to leveling up as a character, I got addicted to watching the stats grow at Nerd Fitness. I got addicted to reading emails from readers that had impacted their lives. I got addicted to watching Nerd Fitness become a community, and I got addicted to seeing you know, metrics increase and seeing how many other people we could impact with it. So a big part of balancing the hope for a better future and this forward thinking and what needs to get done today was structuring my life as if it was a video game and putting the same game mechanics in place in my day-to-day life that had previously held me prisoner. They instead became the vehicle for which allowed me to grow and learn and do the things that were truly important to me.
There's more of my conversation with Steve after this short message from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by HostGator, your one-stop shop for creating your online presence. From helping you get your business online to making your social media profiles and running your marketing, they're with you every step of the way. And thanks to their 24/7, 365 days a year live support, which you can get via phone, chat, and email, any and all questions you have can be answered in no time at all. And if you're really hardcore and looking to build your own website, they provide one-click WordPress installs. So check out HostGator. And remember, for Unmistakable Creative listeners, they're offering a 30% discount on all their hosting packages. So visit HostGator.com/creative and use the promo code creative. Our other sponsor for today's show is TrueCar. There's an old way to buy a car and a new way to buy a car. Technology continues to evolve. Everything evolves, really. There was a time when that hard drive on your keychain weighed as much as a ton of bricks and cost about a month's rent. I know it's hard to imagine if you're a millennial, but there really was such a time, not that long ago. So, as technology and innovation advances, it would make sense that there's a new and a better way to buy a car. And finally, there is. It's called TrueCar. And what makes TrueCar special is their unique certified dealer network. They've partnered with over 10,000 TrueCar certified dealers that also believe in a new way to buy a car. With TrueCar, you can get guaranteed savings, and TrueCar certified dealers will honor the savings. It's that simple. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off manufacturer's suggested retail price with no hassles or headaches. It's how car buying was always meant to be. Over 2 million cars have been sold by the TrueCar certified dealer network. So visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay. And if you haven't had a chance to download some of the free bonuses we've mentioned in the last few episodes, just visit unmistakablecreative.com/bonus to get instant access to all of them. Now, back to my conversation with Steve.
So you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that at this point you've been at it for about 7 years. And I think, you know, it's funny because we've started at similar times and, you know, it's really easy, I think, for a lot of people to get into the mode of comparison. I know I certainly have, especially because I've spent years telling everybody else's stories about how they've, you know, gotten book deals and gotten to do all these crazy things. And even still, you know, 7 years later, when I'm getting to experience those things, I'm kind of like, wow, we're not as big as everybody else. But that's not really, that's more of a comment than it is a question. The question I have is, during that 7 years, were there times when you ever felt hopeless? And if so, how'd you pull out of them?
Hopeless. Ooh, yeah. It's interesting. I kind of think of like that period of hopelessness as far as when I'm trying to build something or help people with like hitting a plateau in your health and fitness. So, you know, I'm running enough and I'm eating healthy and the weight's not coming off, or I'm training better, but I'm not getting any stronger. Like, what the heck? Like, you kind of hit this plateau. So the hopelessness I kind of see comes across as like almost like a mental plateau, or as Seth Godin would say, like the dip between when you had started and things are really exciting at front at the beginning, and then it starts to kind of fall apart before, you know, you have to decide if it's worth pursuing and busting through that dip, that plateau, or if it's, you know, time to move on to something else. I'm fortunate in that I think like my biochemistry, I'm just naturally wired to be optimistic. And that allowed me to be very ignorant and naive in what I had done. I think when I started truly writing for Nerd Fitness, doing this as a side gig after work, I was publishing 5 articles a week, not sleeping very much. And I think after publishing 5 articles a week for 9 months, I had 90 email and RSS subscribers. Like, I didn't even have an email list. Like, I was only collecting RSS like statistics through Google Feedburner. And I think the number was 90, which equates to half of a person per article written. Scattered again over 9 months. If anybody else has tried to start a blog or whatever, the amount of work compared to the amount of outcome I was receiving from it was pretty terrible. But for some reason, I don't know, man. I got an email here and there that was like, "Hey, man, like I really love what you're doing, and I just something about this website I like, and I hope you keep doing it." And it was those small emails here and there that just like, gave me that confidence that like, okay, if I can get to 90 and I can help people, at this point the concept has been proven. This is going to help people. It's just a matter of scale. I need to get in front of more people. I need to work harder. I need to work smarter. Whatever it is, there will be a way sometime down the road. And it's funny, actually, I stumbled across a gentleman by the name of Adam Baker at about the 9 month mark. And he had written an article called How to Not Suck at Blogging. And I read it and I was like, oh man, I suck at blogging. Like, I'm terrible. I'm not good at this. And I had to change my writing style and ended up actually reaching out to Adam and saying, hey, thank you for writing this article. It's been really helpful to me in my life. And I've changed my writing style as a result of it. And I'm actually still really good friends with Adam today. He is, I stole him and he actually now works full time with me at Nerd Fitness as well, which has been pretty cool to kind of bring a mentor of mine for so many years onto the team, and something that he was pretty monumental in helping me guide in those early years. And we found an email interaction between the two of us from at this point 6 years ago. And we went back through it, and in it, I said something like, you know, I hope I can find a way to turn this into a company within the next 4 to 5 years. Like, I had already mentally resigned myself to the idea that this thing that I was working on was going to take a lot of my time for a long time, but that I think I could make it work somehow. And I figured, man, if it's going to be a few years, but it's something that I'm truly excited and fired up about and is helping people, what's a few years now that's compared to the rest of my life that I get to focus on these things? And you know, now my focus has shifted. It was like, how can Nerd Fitness exist long after I'm gone? Like, that's what I want Nerd Fitness to become. So it's gone through some shifts. As far as other moments of hopelessness, I've struggled recently in going from a team of one to now a team of nine. I had been a solo entrepreneur for so many years and only hired part-time work. And, you know, I've since introduced the challenging aspect of hiring W-2'd employees across different state lines and working with moms and dads that have children and you know, people that are now relying on Nerd Fitness. And I wouldn't say hopeless, but rather it's added a whole new level of difficulty. You know, it's like I'm playing on legendary difficulty now instead of easy. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, if I screwed up or I didn't publish an article, nothing happened. It was on me. But now when I don't do those things or I don't hold up my end of the bargain, there are 8 other members of the team that are relying on me to pull my own weight too. So I don't think I've ever truly felt hopeless, but rather I've purposefully increased the level of difficulty and thus adding significant amounts of stress in certain ways to what I'm doing. But I wouldn't change it for a second. I'm really excited with the team that we have and the way that we can help people, and we can do it on a much larger scale and impact people in a lot different ways now compared to when it was just me.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. A couple of references came to my mind when you said that. One, I was like, yeah, I guess that's like playing Contra without the cheat code.
Exactly.
Or, you know, Greg Hartle, who's a mentor of mine who played a significant role in our development, he told me, he said, you know, I've told you 1,000 times, the problems don't go away. He said, what changes is your capacity to handle them. And of course, as your capacity to handle them increases, you get to do bigger and bigger things.
And deal with bigger and bigger problems.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So let's do this. I want to spend the rest of our time talking specifically about the framework that this book provides for people to level up their life. Like, if somebody was to take the rest of this interview and leverage it as a blueprint for what they could do, how would they go about doing that?
Sure. I think the thing that I found really helpful is to determine the type of game that you want to play. And for me, I guess at this point it had been 3 years after I had started, about 2.5 years after I had started Nerd Fitness. When I took it full time, up to that point, I had never traveled. There were so many things I wanted to do, but seemingly never had the time to do. And when Rebel Leader, instead of being a side hobby, became my full-time gig, it freed up my afternoons or evenings to pursue other things that were important to me. And I thought of the game that I wanted to play. If I'm turning my life into a game, what does that look like? And I decided that I wanted to play an adventure game because I had never traveled. I was risk averse. I had never been outside of North America. There were so many things out in the world that I wanted to do. And loving, being such a fan of games, certain games and books and movies, and always my favorite part of the game was exploring and seeing new places and finding out what's in the cave or underneath that particular lake or across that ocean. So my life became an adventure game. So I thought back to all of those games and movies that I loved, and instead of using them as escape, I used them as inspiration. I picked specific moments from some of those adventures and tried to recreate them in real life. So as a kid, I loved the movie Top Gun. My brother and I would sit on opposite couches and pretend like they were F-14 Tomcat, you know, fighter planes. So when I got to New Zealand, when I'm traveling, I found out you can fly a stunt plane in New Zealand. Like, what? That's amazing. I get to live out my fantasy of being Tom Cruise in Top Gun, something I've wanted to do since I was 4. You know, I get to sit in a stunt biplane and do barrel rolls and corkscrews and things like that. So there's an example. I spent a weekend living like James Bond in Monaco because I loved the idea of James Bond and always thought he was just the coolest cat on the planet. And it was like, how can I embody James Bond? I got it. I'm going to rent a tux. I'm going to stay at the Fairmont Monte Carlo, and I'm going to gamble at the Monte Carlo casino and live a weekend like James Bond. And I did it all in such a way that I actually made money on the weekend. It cost me like $50 to rent the tux. I used hotel points to stay in the hotel and ended up making a few $100 playing blackjack. So I had this really cool experience, and it was really fun for me to find a way to do all these amazing things without breaking the bank. So for anybody out there that is like, okay, Steve, I get it. I want to start traveling. Maybe I want to learn how to play a musical instrument. I want to build a business, write a book, whatever it may be. Identify the game that you're interested in playing. Encourage people to kind of plan out what they think that life might look like for them at level 50. In my mind, I see level 50 as being like the near the very, very top of what the game is going to be. And then you can kind of reverse engineer the game around that. So for me, if I wanted to become an adventure traveler, then I needed to have an existence that allowed those things to happen. I needed to have a business that allowed me to travel. I needed to surround myself with the right kind of people that knew how to do these things. I had to educate myself on travel hacking so I could do it cheaply. I had to get over my fear of traveling alone so that I could travel solo, stay in hostels, sleep on couches, whatever it may be. That became my life. And I did that for about 2 years. And after that, I decided my game changed. Over the past 2 years, I've been, my game has become a music / like Assassin's Creed, I guess, kind of mixing of the two. So now I get my kicks instead of out of traveling, which I still do occasionally. But I play the violin every day. I actually learned to play the violin as I was writing this book. I wanted to prove to people that, like, you know, not only can you do anything you set your mind to, but if you put a system in place to pull these things off, you can make it happen. So I started to learn the violin right around the time I started to write my first few words for this book. On top of that, I've spent 2 years truly focused on getting myself in the best physical shape possible, and it's been a lot of fun. So I think for anybody that is interested in doing any / all of these things, if you're scatterbrained like me or you have kind of goal ADD, I don't see any problem with it. I think what's important is to write all of these things down, get very specific. So it's not just lose weight, but it is exercise 3 days per week for 2 months. Or it's not get stronger, but it's deadlift 405 pounds. Or it's I want to write a book. I will have a book manuscript written by this particular date, or I'll have a book proposal done. I will have a conversation with a book agent, whatever. There are ways you can go back through and look at these major goals that we all have in our lives that bring us the sense of fulfillment, and break them down into these smaller goals, assign, as I did, experience point values to them. So as you cross off those tiny goals, you can actually create a character and watch the character level up as you're making progress, which ties into that progress principle we were talking about earlier, and actually start doing these things. I think so many people just consistently say, I don't have time, or I'll put this off until I'm ready, and, you know, eventually happen. You know, like tomorrow is no guarantee. So I find it's very important to truly dig in, get specific and concrete with what you're trying to build, what's important to you, and then structuring your environment, surrounding yourself with the right types of people, and putting boots on the ground, you know, putting pen to paper, putting fingers on keyboards, whatever it may be for the thing that you're interested in, and getting started today. And in order for me to, I think, provide the best way to actually allow people to do that is you can actually go to levelupyourlife.com, which is the name of the book, and create a character, write your own origin story, pick what type of character you want to be in this game, and then start creating your own quest list, categorized and assigned difficulty levels to them. And as you start to cross these things off, be it by every day, once a week, once a month, you can actually level up a character and watch an avatar version, you know, like this alter ego superhero version of yourself, actually start living a better life. So I think there's a good mix of people that have normal jobs that then become extraordinary superheroes when they're not at their day job. And I love to share a lot of those stories throughout the book. And, you know, although I am now the rebel leader of Nerd Fitness, majority of my time is still spent sitting in front of a computer and writing articles. So my alter ego has become this troubadour / powerlifting troubadour, I guess. And it's been a lot of fun to watch my game change and watch the adventure change as I've grown up and as you know, different life things have happened to me as well.
This has been awesome, Steve. So I have one last question for you, which is how
I'm ready.
Finish
all I think I'm ready interviews. Anyway.
What do you think it is that makes somebody or something unmistakable?
What makes people unmistakable? I think it is something about just absolute conviction in who they are, what their ideals are, like what they stand for, and they have no problem. Well, no, I wouldn't say no problem, but they have found the ability or the confidence to not be ashamed to show who they are like 100%. So I think most people, they probably have certain aspects of themselves that they don't like or aspects of that might not be popular. And I think the people that are unmistakable are those that like they, I don't mean like they march to the beat of a different drum, but they're very unique in who they are. They're not ashamed to be that type of person, and they understand and recognize that they probably have some sort of unique gift that they can share with the rest of the world, be it art, creative, a specific talent in some way, and they have the confidence and the ability to structure their lives around that particular thing. And I'm hopeful that that thing is something that makes other people's lives better. But I think just being unmistakable is knowing who you are, not being ashamed to be that person, even if it's contrary to popular behavior, popular opinion, whatever it may be. And then being uniquely creative or uniquely talented in something, in some way, and being able to share that with the world.
Well, this has been phenomenal, and it's such a fitting conversation to have to kick off, you know, the beginning of the year. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us and share your story and all your insights with our listeners.
Thanks, Rini. I mean, like I said, man, it's been a few years since we've talked, and you know, a big portion of this book is built around this concept of the hero's journey. And I feel like I've been on a hero's journey when I traveled. I feel like writing this book was a hero's journey. And I'm excited to share it with the world. And as you know, a book did for me many years ago, when I walked into a bookstore and picked it up off the shelf, it was Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week that encouraged me to start thinking differently. I'm hopeful that this book can be that same thing for somebody. They walk into a store, see the cover and pick it up, even though they're not familiar with Nerd Fitness, and it completely shifts how they look at life and pushes them down a different path. And I feel really good about how it turned out. I can't wait to share it with the world, and hopefully I can help as many people as possible with it.
Awesome. And for everybody listening, we will wrap the show with that.
Monday on The Unmistakable Creative.
I personally think that there are very few failures that await us in life that are as bad or as debilitating as the fear of them is. Now, there's some things you shouldn't do. You know, jump out of an airplane without a parachute, or even in a wingsuit, or all some of that crazy wackadoo stuff. I mean, then you're really rolling the dice, and the failure that awaits you is like crippling or death. You know, so, but within, you know, polite society, there's not a lot of things you can do. There's not a lot of exploration that you can do. There's not a lot of seeking out that you can do. The answers or questions that you can ask, the answers of which are worse for you than the fear of asking the question.
Adam Stelzner, an engineer from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, joins us to talk about his new book, The Right Kind of Crazy, and the creative process of literally putting spacecrafts on Mars.